Attack from Space this week on Destructomundo.
It's on, it's on. There's no sound. Play with the rabbit ears.
It reports incredible as they seem are not the results of mass hysteria.
Mass hysteria. How do they think we're imagining all this?
Destructomundo.
Space. Outer space.
Yes.
The outer space.
Not just general space.
Right. No, inner space. Not yet.
Space is attacking me. I'm currently being attacked by space.
That's right.
Which means, by definition, you're also being attacked by time.
You're going to lose.
Yes. The time-space continuum is constantly, fighting with everyone, but especially you.
So that's been established. So...
Stop fighting the continuum. Your mom said to do that.
No, I've never seen a UFO. Have you seen a UFO?
I've seen some very unusual flying objects. I've never seen anything that was unquestionably not, impossibly human.
You haven't seen a flying saucer.
No, the circumstances of the sighting were not so dramatically bizarre that it could, that it had to be something from beyond this Earth or whatever, I've seen a few. I had a weird incident as a child that was witnessed by both my brothers, my father, and a friend of one of my brothers, and we were all there and saw a strange lighted object. In the night sky, completely silent. My brother and his friend saw it down by this guy's house. This was late on a summer night. They noticed something in the distance.
Sure you all didn't have just a little too much to drink with the old man.
No, I was like eight. And then they
first
came up
beer.
And told us, and they were like, "There's this. We saw this, and they came up and got myself and my other brother and my dad, and we all went out back, and we could see it, and it didn't really have lights on it. It you could see enough of a. It was kind of low in the night sky, and it was to the east. It was not in line with like the sunset, so there was no sort of glow or glare or anything involved with that, because the sun would have been behind us as we were looking eastwards and seeing it, and it was well past sunset, but you could still see a little bit of glow off to the west. But and as we were all watching it, it moved almost. I'm tempted to say instantaneously, sort of from point A to point B. As it sort of shot across a good arc of the sky.
Just that fast.
Just zap. It seemed to just go... And which is classic UFO stuff, that sort of instantaneous movement. There's no acceleration.
Yeah.
No deceleration. It just seems to go zap from A to B. And then it was just there. And then it was a little bit closer and we could see better. And really, you could see it, not it so much as the silhouette that it cast against the sky behind it.
Yeah,
and it did have that sort of classic disc shape, and it was sort of like a dark spot against. You could see it against the sky behind it, because the sky wasn't like jet black yet. It was that sort of dark blue black, and there was a pretty decent star field because we were not, in the city. This was out.
Yeah.
Where I grew up, suburbia. Relatively, which at the time was still relatively undeveloped out there.
Well, that would have been. It would have been in the 70s, height of the Cold War.
Yeah, it would have been late 70s. Yeah,
could have been Russian.
So it just sat there, and there was no noise. There wasn't like blinking lights around it, but you could you could clearly see it silhouetted against the sky, and it was absolutely, when it was in, you know, sort of point A and point B, it was completely motionless, and there was that instantaneous, seemed to zap from the two, you know, from point A to point B, and then beyond that, it just sat there. It wasn't rotating. It wasn't. There was no lights. There was no sound. But you could clearly see that there was an object there, silhouetted against the sky.
What would you gauge its distance at?
Position. That's really hard to say. It was not.
Since you don't have a really good sense of how big it was, it'd be kind of difficult.
It didn't seem huge, and it didn't seem terrifically far. I mean, I'm not really good at judging like an aerial distance.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say perhaps at least maybe a mile. I can't judge how far I could see straight across in the sky. But
yeah,
it wasn't really close, but it was big enough.
You could tell it was far away from you, not.
Well, I'd say I can't estimate like degrees, astronomical degrees of how many degrees of the sky it obscured. But like, if you held your hand at arm's length, it was probably, you know, like the distance between thumb and forefinger, it would have been perhaps about 2 inches.
Oh Lord!
An inch and a half to 2 inches.
That's pretty good size.
It looked like a decent size, but you could see it. It had that classic sort of flat disc shape, and it was a little bit at an angle, so you weren't looking at it directly from the side.
Of course, you know, you wouldn't want to actually hold your hand out and do that gesture, because then the aliens could take that as a hostile sign that you're trying to crush them.
And you said there was no lights on it.
There were no lights, but you could see it silhouette, because like I said, the sky was still sort of that blue-black color as it's getting dark, but there were stars out, but you could clearly see it. You know, and we sat there and watched it for, it seemed like a long time, and then, it got late, and we all had to go to bed. And none of us could, like, stay up all night to see what happened with it.
But it just stayed there.
It stayed there. There was that initial zap from, like, point A to point B, which had to be a good distance across the sky. It wasn't like a quick blip. I mean, it was a pretty good movement.
I've never heard of one that stayed long enough to where you're like, well.
That's because they know when you get the cameras out.
Gotta go to bed. Well, it's like in Close Encounters when they're all hanging out on the road waiting for the show to start.
Yeah.
You know, and it's late at night.
But that was, that's certainly, but, you know, I mean, that was a weird thing. It, you know, the behavior of it, like I said, the no acceleration, no deceleration, no sound, no lights.
Mm-hmm.
That's all really weird, but. You know, I can't say with beyond a shadow of a doubt that that was something unearthly, you know, because I didn't see, like, a crazy spaceship, you know, I didn't see occupants, you know.
No.
There was nothing like that.
Up
yeah, but, I mean, it was really weird, and we all sat there, you know, and was like, I don't know what that could be. I mean, look at, there's this something over there, you know.
Sure.
And after we sat there for a while, you know, like I said, it got late. And eventually we all had to go to bed. And some of us stayed up late. I don't remember who was the last one out there, but it never did anything else that anyone else ever saw.
Well, Ted, do you have any?
I have no
otherworldly story.
That's the best one I have. There was one afternoon I saw something that very much looked like a luminous sphere.
I've seen comets. And I have seen.
Well, I've seen
meteors.
Stuff like that. Yeah.
Yes.
I haven't
and
seen.
And I saw a green meteor once with a friend, and wasn't sure what that was until I told my science teacher, and he was like, "Oh, that was more than likely a meteor with a large amount of iron."
Yeah.
To make that color, and
does it burn?
Yeah, because it burns that glow, okay. Sort of a lime green, almost day glow.
But I saw something in, it was broad daylight, middle of the afternoon, and it looked to be a sort of blue-white luminous sphere.
Hmm.
And it seemed close enough that if it were a plane, it would have looked like a plane.
Yeah, I've seen planes up close that are coming in for a landing, and all you see initially, especially at dusk, is just the nose gear, like, headlight.
Yeah.
And then eventually, you know, you can see the rest of the plane, and it's, at first it's just a big giant light.
Yes,
and then
I've seen satellites go over at night.
I've seen blinking lights Yeah, that I thought maybe were satellites. It's difficult to say because.
Well, they could be planes though too. Planes have lights that blink all the time.
Flying plane, and most satellites are in geosynchronous orbit, and it's very tricky for anybody here to see anything in geosynchronous orbit.
Yeah, I saw the Hale-Bopp comet. I guess that was pretty actually.
You know,
pretty
I
freaking
missed
cool.
that, and I also missed Halley's
really
comet.
Well, Halley's comet was a long time ago, but the last one, the Hale-Bopp, it was really neat looking.
But you didn't go up with the... You didn't go up to the mothership.
No. One time, the local police helicopter tried to beam me up, but that just didn't work.
I avoid meteor showers.
Sure.
Day of the trip.
Well, of course.
So I do not go watch meteor showers. But, so.
However, I was at the shoe store the other day, and you can now buy the black Nikes that the group had from Heaven's Gate.
Really?
That they all had those black Nikes,
the
running shoes, like the old retro ones. They'd stopped making them for a while, and you couldn't buy them.
After the Heaven's Gate.
Now they're available again. I thought about buying
for the trip up Heaven's Chimney.
That's right.
In a UFO brand flying saucer.
Oh yeah.
No, I mean that's the two that I have, but like I said, another one was so dramatic.
It's if you watch TV and there's plenty of UFO programming, especially on cable television, with videos of UFO sightings, and it's and you've got all the old stuff, which is either obviously a plastic model dangling from a stick, or it's a drunk alien flying a really crappy flying saucer.
Wires.
Well, I mean, if you watch the movement, they just kind of sway back and forth.
Yes.
And it's like, well, you know.
There's a lot of hokey crap. Yeah.
And then, but see, now it'd be hard to tell if it's, a real video or not.
I can tell. I can tell the difference between the models in Star Wars.
No. Well, I mean, you can take a home video camera and get nice shaky footage of like General Sky.
Oh yeah.
And then edit it online or on a computer where you can't really tell what's going on, but it looks like. So
that's
I wouldn't trust.
I mean, there
video.
Are certain signatures that the editing actually gives it to where it shows up as being edited. Like there's only so many things that you can do with the software that you can make those kind of movies with, to where you just someone who does that all the time is going to be like, yeah, I recognize that. I recognize this. That motion is exactly what maybe Adobe Premiere will do.
Well, and because, I mean, just to the layperson watching television and seeing UFO videos on TV.
Oh, sure. I mean, you can fool the population, but there's always going to be some crackpot that goes, "That's not real."
Yeah.
That's not real, and then the government will haul him off and. We don't have to worry about him anymore.
Yeah. Because where's Hangar 18 supposed to be? It was supposed to be at Wright-Patterson, right?
I've been to Hangar 18. I stood out in front of the place.
Yeah, because that's...
Yeah, I've been there too, and I didn't see anything.
Yeah, that's where Blue Book was based.
But they did have a...
and I didn't see Megadeth there either. I didn't see Dave Mustaine. He wasn't there.
They were rebuilding a George, a Mitsubishi George.
Really?
Yeah. Not a Zero, but Zeros are generic names.
Well, not to get off on a discussion of airplanes, but Wright-Patterson used to have a really cool airplane graveyard that I found accidentally when I was about 13. It was really neat.
Really?
Yeah. It's like if you take a wrong turn into the Air Force Base, you go up to a dead-end street with a gate, and if you look past the gate, there's just a bunch of airplane parts sitting in a field.
Nice.
It's pretty neat. Well, I don't know if it's still there, though. I haven't been there in years. But anyway, I didn't see any UFOs in
Hangar 18. From if I remember correctly, the earlier projects before Blue. I know there was Project Grudge, the ominously named Project Grudge.
Yeah.
Which is a good name for a project to disprove flying saucers. Project Grudge, but I think Wright-Patterson was one of the centers for the. It may not have been called that at the time. It was the ATIC, the Air Technical Intelligence Center, which was the guys that examined enemy aircraft and back engineered them.
Right.
And it was assigned in with those guys. And the theory that if they found a spacecraft, these were the guys that would be able to analyze it better than anybody.
Mm-hmm.
But so much of that's entered urban legend shit,
sure.
Hangar 18 and whatnot. But Blue Book was probably like two rooms, like two office rooms with some filing cabinets in it and a desk.
Oh, really?
It's probably all that was ever there. You know? There was no big hangar with anything. It was probably just like a couple of office, is it like at the end of a hallway, you know, with like nothing on the door and like a couple of bored guys sitting in there answering the phone, you know, and looking through grainy black and white photographs going, I don't know, that looks like a...
It's just like any other government job where there's guys paid to just sit there and do nothing. I mean, so, that's what they say. It's harder to get fired from a government job than any other job because the paperwork is insane.
So,
here, you file all these crackpots, you know, accounts.
Well, I mean, legitimately,
UFO
there's UFO sightings if you just want to say unidentified flying objects. I mean, you can talk all day to airline pilots that swear they
that's the thing. I mean, people argue whether or not UFOs exist, which is
well, talking about flying saucers.
Yeah,
and
that's a semantic difference. Right. UFOs are unquestionably a reality.
Mm-hmm. Unidentified flying objects, of course.
But then the whole thing is the debate is to whether or not they are extraterrestrials. I mean, that's obviously, you know. And people say, I don't believe in UFOs. And it's like saying, I don't believe in cheese. You know what I mean? Because it's there. There's all these things that you know, are flying around, and no one's been able to identify it. And therefore, it is, by definition, an unidentified flying object.
Sure.
Just the question is, you know, do you look at the facts and as much evidence as you have, and do you or do you not conclude that it must be, you know, a technological, you know, not a naturally occurring phenomenon. It has to be some sort of manufactured technological artifact, and its performance, you know, is beyond anything of our, you know, that we could achieve. So it must be of extraterrestrial origin. I mean, that's... And then, you know, what are they doing? They just...
And, you know, it's amazing to me that nothing's been leaked, too. I mean, you can make... you've got people, I guess all the people from the Area 51 crash, who apparently were there, swearing up and down that they, you know.
Oh, to me, you mean the Roswell crash?
Stuff? Oh, the Roswell crash.
Yeah.
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 Sorry.
Yeah. But then they say it was some Mylar. Weather balloon.
Right.
You know. But then they also, you know, have the alien autopsy and all the other stuff. And
obviously bogus. I remember that was funny.
I mean, it's gotten... You know, there's, I don't know, it bothered me because, I mean, I was a pretty weird kid growing up because I grew up in the 70s and I read all kinds of books on flying saucers, and I read a bunch of, I loved, like, you know, flying saucer books, Bigfoot books, more than anything. I wasn't really into, like, ghost stuff, supernatural stuff, really, but I read a lot of that, of, like, flying saucer stuff, Bigfoot, you know, weird monster stuff, and just loved it. You know, and you couldn't talk to people about it. Like, you know, you couldn't talk about flying saucers. Like, what? You know? And you had a few things on TV every now and then. You know, you had, like, the coolest show, The Night Stalker.
Oh,
you know,
sure.
That had real monsters. That had, you know, at least...
Oh, what was the show that was on with Leonard Nimoy as the host?
In Search of.
Yeah,
yeah, you know.
That was one of the best shows.
You had stuff like that occasionally, but not too many people watched it. But so I remember I was really, really resentful years later. When, like, the X-Files was suddenly a huge hit, and all these people started talking about all this stuff.
Oh, yeah. And
I'm like, I've been into this stuff since, like, 1974, you know? And, like, now it's like, oh, suddenly it's cool, and everybody had the little alien head on the back of their car, the little stickers, you know, with the gray heads. And I'm like, you know, and people would be like, we don't, you know, and I could try to mention something, and then it was clear that I knew more about it.
Now you can't.
And you learn from the X-Files, you know.
You can't trust somebody's picture of, you know, because there was the people that would draw the picture of the alien that they saw. It's like, that's on a sticker.
Yeah, right. So much of it's entered into.
I got a shirt with that on it. That's on my lighter.
That's because that's what they look like.
You know, yeah, so they get the big black eye.
Everybody knows that's what they look like. But, you know, I guess the question becomes, well, why haven't they landed at the, you know, Sonic or whatever and been like, okay,
yeah,
we're here to kill y'all or take over?
It's alien probing. You know, and they wanted to probe people.
Well,
I mean, you know, if it's, I think they've had plenty of time for reconnaissance
and
analysis.
I think they know what the human rectum looks like
alien teens out on a weekend messing with their heads. It's like cow tipping on another planet.
That's possible.
If they haven't, if they haven't discovered what they needed to discover yet, they have the worst intelligence.
Sure, I mean, I don't know what they're going to understand from us.
They've had plenty of time for reconnaissance and analysis. Their intel is apparently crap because they haven't figured it out yet and decided.
Oh, they have no communication network.
Okay,
apparently,
because they're monitoring all of our television transmissions and radio. They've had plenty of time for that.
I wonder what they like best about our transmissions.
Probably not much right now.
Well, I mean, we've got some crap TV going on for sure.
They probably like the Discovery Channel.
I wonder if they know that, radio stinks. They got to be like, man, it's like the same stuff over and over again. Human beings just, can't deal with anything, original or new. They just like repetition. They like pretty colors and repetition. They can't have a good opinion of us from our broadcast.
I don't have a good opinion of us from the broadcast, so I don't know.
Well, I mean, they don't,
But why wouldn't, you'd think there's more than one species of extraterrestrial. Those, maybe they're the only ones that are in the neighborhood, but somebody else's. There hasn't been an attack on the planet,
As far as we know, there hasn't been an attack on the planet. There hasn't been like the all-out war of the worlds where we...
Well, what other attack would you make?
Well, you could infiltrate and then, defeat us from the inside. Take over our governments, have our own people.
Well, they're doing a shitty job of that.
If they land, they
this is the worst alien-controlled government ever.
It's just, what about they live?
It's like their secret weapon is trade deficits or something.
They
it's
live.
Terrible.
We would bankrupt them all from within.
that's right.
They take over our government and drive our country into the toilet.
Then they sell us goods and utilities. We got this great power.
I don't know. Even in They Live, though, there was a master plan. The master plan that if they've taken over,
without understanding their motivations, obviously, if they were peaceful and just whatever they want to, welcome us into the Galactic Brotherhood or whatever,
the Alliance.
All that, and obviously that's a whole different thing than
I hope it's not as nerdy as Babylon 5 or anything like that when we finally do find out that we're not alone in the universe.
They're not that bad. But I guess assuming with our field of discussion, if they don't have good intentions, say they do finally decide to come to Earth in force.
Mm-hmm. We're screwed.
And they don't have good intentions. To me, the main thing that's going to affect their course of action is if their intentions are, do they want to conquer us, or do they want to exterminate us?
Or enslave us. Or eat us.
That's what I mean. But one involves, just defeating us, but they have some use for it. If they want us, as cheap labor or as a food source, or, they want to conquer us, take over our planet, but keep us alive.
Yeah.
Or do they just want the real estate?
Or maybe they want our...
It's one of those
food
things...
Food sources. They have lettuce. And corn.
So they have to conquer us, but they have to keep us alive because they don't know how to grow.
Exactly.
It doesn't matter.
We're 50 feet tall and have terribly huge tentacles. We can't grow corn.
That's what I mean. The specifics don't matter. What they need us for. But if it's a question of if they have some use for us or they don't.
Yeah.
Because one thing, they'll need to, defeat us without...
Until it's destroying the planet.
Yeah. But the other one is if they just want the planet, every you know, like in our history, when somebody would arrive someplace and be like, this would be a great land if we got rid of all these non-white people, you know, and then they'd embark on a campaign.
Well, maybe they'll just imprison us like in Battlefield Earth.
You know, don't ever mention that.
Yeah, let's not get into that.
Ever again. But, you know, I mean, it's the equivalent of like that, where, you know, like some explorer arrives someplace and they have a use for the land, but they have to get rid of the natives, and there's a, you know, campaign of extermination.
Yeah.
But you have to be careful because you don't want to destroy the natural stuff that there that's of use.
Well, if we don't join their heathen religion, you know.
So, I mean, I think that's the really big thing that's going to affect it. And either way, I don't see any way that the main thing is I don't see how we could not be at a huge technological disadvantage.
Sure.
I can't come up with any possible circumstances where we would not be at a huge technological
advantage. I mean, I think our only choice, I mean, the only thing that we could do to fend them off would be to just pretty much just destroy the planet. You know, with crappy nuclear weapons. You know, with like nuclear weapons, and be just like, oh crap, they just,
we're going down, we're taking you with us.
Yeah.
It's like going to buy a car and the guy does, or you know, like if you're going to steal a car and the guy that you want to steal a car from just says, you know, screw you buddy, and takes a big dump in the car, you're not going to steal the car. You know, true. It's like, you're not going to take it. So that's the only thing we could do. And be like, oh yeah, check this out. Boom.
And then, I'm totally going to crap in your
car,
it's
man. Like, you know, yeah, you can have
come
it.
Come on, aliens,
you know?
We're going to totally take a crap.
So it's,
you're not going to want this planet.
That's the only analogy we don't really come up with.
We don't really achieve anything other than,
quick,
like, you know.
Get down on your knees and lick it. You know, lick the earth. They'll go,
So it's like, well, yeah, then, like, they, you know, they get rid of us, but then the earth's not worth having.
Well, maybe the atmosphere is the problem. And they're just, I mean, what they're doing is they're slowly degrading the ozone layer because,
well, they, you know, can't live with that.
They like a really hot place.
They don't like that ozone. They can't handle it.
I don't like ozone either. Well,
they're terraforming. They're down here terraforming. They're turning our atmosphere into theirs.
That's problem. That's what I was thinking.
It's all those factories, man. They're belching out that stuff into the atmosphere to terraform this.
So they're
planet
in league. They're in league
theirs
with the Chinese.
Yeah, that's right. They breathe carbon monoxide.
Totally. They're like half plants.
But you'd think there was a more efficient way to do that.
Well, I mean, there might be, but not one that would disturb the populace, because, I mean, yeah, they could come down and use their own resources to make the planet the way they want it, but, you know, they got plenty of time. All they got to do is fund the right people. The factories get built. People get rich. You know, you're using greed.
That's one. Obviously, like I said, obviously we'd be at a technological disadvantage, but the one possible weakness that they would have would be if they were not from an oxygen-rich environment.
Yeah.
I mean, they may have to, if they exit their vehicles, have to, you know, move around in the equivalent of an environment suit.
Mm-hmm.
And that may be a possible weakness if they can't function. And, you know, then, but that, I guess that'd be, you know, whether, like I said, if they wanted to just conquer us and use us for something, or if they want to wipe us out and then do the equivalent of terraforming and take over the planet.
Well, if they were advanced enough to get here from there, there being someplace pretty far away, I would assume, unless it's Mars, they're going to have the ability to do some tricks to their DNA, I would believe, to be able to breathe in the atmosphere.
Yeah, you'd think that.
You sure wouldn't want to fight in a spacesuit. I mean,
right.
Because
right.
The first time you get punctured by anything, you go into a room with a sharp stick. And, you know, because that's exactly what it would take to kill
them. If I were
the leader.
You're
talking about something like, you can extrapolate circumstances forever, but, I mean, if they can make a spaceship that goes from one planet to another, then they can make a suit that's strong enough to resist puncture.
Sure. And I don't think they
would. And they have lasers.
I mean, why even send, you know, members of your populace out to do it? You just send robots. I mean, we've gotten to the point where we're getting ready to send robots into combat. Why even bother? You know, wasting
space bots.
There'd be, you know, like an army of robots. We've talked about the robots, but these are man-made robots last time.
Alien-made robots.
These are extraterrestrial robots that could totally kick our ass.
Space bots.
Well, I mean, alien robots are, you know, there's a lot. Robbie the robot. Wasn't Robbie?
No, he was built by
no.
Was he built by humans? But then there was
Gort.
Yeah. Gort was built by aliens.
Gort.
Oh, but we already know if that happens, you just say Klaatu, Barada, Nikto, and they go away.
No, it's Klaatu, Barada...
Nikto.
Nikto! I said the words. I said your words.
So alien... well, invasion of aliens.
That's what I would do. You know, why bother with the spacesuit stuff and worrying about, they've got spears and guns. And
so they're here gathering, so all of these sightings, that's reconnaissance flights, they're reconning the environment to design the perfect robot to destroy us.
Perhaps. I mean, they could have done that.
I still think that. I still don't have confidence in that because they should have been able to figure that out from the first recon flight.
I think they're terraforming. I think they don't want us to think that they exist. It's the perfect ruse. I mean, it's like God. You don't know if God exists, but you kind of want to hedge your bets and not, completely diss him and go, up yours, God. You want to be I don't believe in God, but I'm afraid of him.
I don't know. I'm not... I'd have to... God knows... Who knows what the aliens are going to... I don't know.
Well,
the duckbill, everything in Australia is an alien species. And that's the jumping off point. They're just too busy. They just like it there. It's a very dangerous place. There are plants that can, put you in agony for a year. Everything will kill you. Duckbill platypus is a really cute little animal. It's poisonous.
How does a duck-billed platypus poison you?
It's got a...
They have spurs.
It's got a spur on their foot that, is
feet.
Venomous.
Oh, really? Like a venomous toe?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Wow.
It's a little...
A kangaroo would kick your ass in about 30 seconds.
Oh, yeah, kangaroos.
A koala bear would scratch your eyes out if it had a chance.
And you'd think it was a giant mouse.
Saltwater crocodiles, great white sharks, all the deadliest spiders and snakes on the whole planet. And they all hang out in Australia.
I got beat up by a giant mouse. Oh, father. So disappointed.
We need to have a site like a hardcore, high level Scientologist on this show to tell us about the alien stuff that everybody denies about Scientology.
Well, I mean, what ways would we go about stopping an alien attack, say if they had your traditional weapons of lasers, flying saucers.
I think we're essentially screwed.
Yeah, I do too. I just don't see any way out of this.
Because
except for maybe the V scenario.
Don't talk about
that. What's wrong with V? Now, V's not Battlefield Earth. I hate Battlefield Earth. V is awesome. Remember when the baby was born?
I remember
and you were
everything
like, oh my
about
God.
It.
And it had a forked tongue. And you're like, that slut.
Now, honestly, I don't want to carry on the V conversation too long, but I don't remember how the series ended. I don't remember how we beat them.
They were thinly disguised Nazis, and we totally kicked their ass, man, because they were, Nazis.
Because like we've been discussing here, it's like if an alien species comes to this planet to conquer us or destroy us, they're not going to do it without advanced intelligence of what conditions here are like. So it's not like the sort of traditional, Wellesian War of the Worlds, where they come here, kick our ass with all this technology, but then get killed by some microbe in the air that we have developed immunity to over the millennia.
Yep.
But they didn't see that coming.
Well, that movie opens in a week. I wonder if they're going to change it.
I'm sure they will.
Microbes just aren't good copies.
And as much as I love it, the George Powell version from the 50s, which is a brilliant, great, great movie, it's got all the religious overtones at the end.
Oh, sure.
Where, it touches on the thing that Wells does, but there's all these religious overtones to where you really get the point of the movie is that God hates Martians.
Of course he does. God loves Americans.
Or God loves us more than he loves Martians.
Well, he loves Americans.
Well, you did invoke
Martians
two words in that sentence,
else.
Which was the thing.
Hey, yes. That's right.
So that's another
thing. The thing is the scenario where...
We're talking about the... I would be talking about the John Carpenter, the
Yeah.
One that's true to the story, then. Right. Even though the original
the
version
of the world
awesome.
is a great, great film, yeah.
But as far as, like, the whole, like, doppelganger thing.
Yeah,
for all we know,
if the John Carpenter's The Thing scenario actually did take place.
I need to look. I have that book. I need to find the author to actually give him credit for that. But
Who Goes There?
Yeah,
that's the short
John
story.
W. Campbell.
Yeah, Campbell.
Mm-hmm. Yes, John W. Campbell Jr.
It's a really good story.
Yes.
Closer. Yeah, the John Carpenter is actually closer to the book than.
That's what I mean. Like, if they come here, you know, they're going to know what to expect. They're going to know what the atmosphere is like. They're going to have, you know, if they've been doing these flybys for ever how many decades or centuries or whatever, you know, they do have intelligence. They've taken samples. If they've been probing people, they've been taking people, they've, you know, they're going to know what it's like. They're not going to be surprised by anything.
No.
They're not going to get here, blow up 6 or 7 cities, and then start, I got this weird cough. You know, like, I killed 40,000 people today. I can't breathe. I'm all congested. And you know, like, they're going to know what it's like here. So there's not going to be any surprise.
Yeah.
They're probably stocking up on Claret.
You know, and we're not gonna pull up.
It's too humid.
Yeah, so but to me, we're gonna be at a huge technological disadvantage,
sure.
and they're gonna know what things are like here. So nothing's gonna surprise. We're not gonna pull out. Oh, we've been saving this for you.
Yeah.
You know, we don't have that super weapon. You know, they're gonna be like, look, they're probably gonna, if they get really desperate, they'll start nuking stuff, and then, you know, they'll just destroy. And you know, we can be like, well,
yeah, they can just go fly.
And you know,
and
all they would have to do to
watch us do it.
And not, essentially, all they'd have to do to deter that would be to turn off all the electricity.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, and that's the
you know how you
gonna
light you need like a match to try to light the fuel on a nuclear missile.
Sure. You know, they're not gonna like suddenly decide to invade Earth. Because I mean, obviously, it's not like, oh yeah, let's go. You know, let's do it. Like, they got wasted, you know? They got wasted, and they all jumped in their spaceships, and they're coming here. I'm gonna fuck that place up, man, you know? And then they get here, and it's all, you know, I mean, they're going to have time to plan it, and they're going to know what it's going to be like here. And
sure.
Nothing's going to surprise them, and whatever technology, whatever, you know, weapons they have, whatever it is, you know, lasers, heat rays, whatever, the poison gas shit that Wells talks about, you know? Whatever, you know, it's not gonna, we're not gonna have nothing. We're gonna have nothing that's gonna be able to stop it.
No, we're screwed. Ack, ack, ack.
So I mean,
ack.
You know, we could conceivably, you know, I mean, damage some of them, but
well, except for what's his name?
Don't bring up another bad. That's a preemptive strike on my part because I'm expecting to. But that's what I mean.
Slim Whitman, man. Slim Whitman.
Oh. Slim Whitman?
Slim Whitman.
Slim Whitman. Wasn't it Slim Whitman?
Slim Pickens.
No, Slim Whitman, though.
Who's Slim Whitman?
Oh, okay. That's from Mars Attacks.
Oh.
They can't handle it, man. Their heads explode inside their helmets, dude. They're screwed. We got them.
Well, you know, maybe that's why they're not here.
Yodeling kills Martians. If anything, we should know
it's
that.
It's the music and the bad,
we have to
like,
remember
cheap
that.
Beer.
We have to try all these things, because if they come, man, we're, you know, we can't just go, that won't work. We got to try.
You got to try it, I guess.
Because it'll be something small. It'll be like, none of our weapons work, but they don't like flashlights. And we'll just click them at them, and they'll go, fly back to their planet.
I don't know. I mean, I guess conceivably it could be something completely absurd like that, because everything else that I think they would have, you know, considered already. Like I said, you know, they've had time to analyze roughly what our civilization is like.
Well, we'll have to analyze their defenses and
see
what they're.
They're going to understand our environment. They're going to understand, you know, if they've been watching TV and listening to our radio transmissions, they're going to, you know.
Yeah, and they would know that by now, because if the Roswell crash was actually a recon mission, nothing significant. There hasn't been like a significant weapons development since the atom bomb. So
yeah,
I mean, we're still shooting bullets with gunpowder.
Yeah. Well, there's the biological weapon.
Well, that's not new.
No, but it's, you know, We capture one of them. We analyze their DNA. We see what kills them. We hope that it doesn't kill all of us. We make a clandestine weapon we can launch at them, kill them. You know,
that may be our only chance. That begs the question: has that been done already, though?
Well, I mean, we may be
maybe we've already captured
now. It's hard
to
say.
But yeah, we're not going to be able to do that once it started, because they're going to be like destroying a city an hour. You know, and if you're going to have to do all this analysis, you know, and then where do you get the funding? You know, you apply for a grant while they level Paris, but you know, Paris, don't worry about. But
surely the CDC's got something going on. You know, they got the people down there that are trying to make nasty stuff for the human race. All they got to do is just start working on the alien race.
Well, it depends on.
It's your government at work for you.
Creating stuff to kill aliens?
Or humans.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Anything?
To kill.
The Satan bug?
That's
it kills
right.
everything.
Yes.
I don't see any way that we're just not completely screwed.
No.
So I guess we better hope that,
They're nice?
That no, or that at least they just, you know, want to use us for cheap labor.
or food.
Or... cutlets.
That's even better.
Cutlets. Oh, that would be the best.
Human cutlets.
We get to hang out in a pen and eat all day. You know? But they're putting hormones
right on,
in this man.
You know, that wouldn't be too bad as long as, the main beef that I have with consumables
if we're done,
is the
Kobe
fact that I have
beef
to pay
and
for
we get massages and stuff like that and get fed beer.
Kobe,
I mean, that,
Kobe people?
That's right. They come out.
Feed me beer and grain and rub me down.
That's right.
So, what is that? To Serve Mankind. You know,
right.
The Zone episode, yeah.
That's right.
Put them on the ship.
It's a cookbook.
And they give them like all the food.
Oh, man, you just gave away the end of the episode. Oh. Damn you. That's a great episode for nobody who's seen it, too. It's awesome.
Who hasn't seen that?
Well, anybody.
There are people who have never seen an episode of The Twilight Zone.
Well,
trust me.
What's
well,
the
those,
show?
Those
then,
people don't deserve to.
People.
To
then they see it and they appreciate it.
People have weird things happen to them.
Well, that's a good starting point. You can, you know, but it's. So I think unless the aliens have a use for us, if they come here just to wipe us out,
what about the cat from outer space?
Well, that's Ken Berry and Sandy Duncan.
She had a glass eye.
Yeah. Yes, she did. Ken Berry was a poor second to Dean Jones in my book.
Sure, he was a poor man's Dean Jones.
After Dean kind of moved on from being Disney's number one man, Ken Berry kind of settled in. Ken Berry's got a good everyman quality to him, though. He doesn't have the charisma of a Dean Jones.
No.
But
he was definitely a stand-in for him.
Yes.
You know?
They tried to replace Dean Jones.
It just didn't
work.
No.
But though the cat from outer space was a friendly alien.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then there's an identified flying oddball.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
Those great Disney movies were made in the early 70s. They're awesome.
I remember I went to see Unidentified Flying Oddball at the drive-in.
Oh, that's great.
Which was a double feature with... Spaceman in King Arthur's Court.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
I remember
yeah.
that.
Oh, yeah. That was a good note. Strangely,
man,
this
how
is...
old were you? About eight when you saw that? Or younger?
I was younger than that, yeah. I was probably like five or six.
I saw the same. I think I might have seen the exact
strangely,
same double
you know,
feature.
I think, strangely, we're almost still on topic.
Yeah, I really honestly think we are.
But,
right.
Yeah, space.
I still think it's weird that my parents took me to see Alien when it came out when I was like 7 years old.
Yeah. Oh, Alien! You see, that's the scenario that we're definitely screwed from. Because you see, as the series progresses, it just gets worse and worse. You know, the acting gets worse and
actually,
worse, and the directing
like
gets
Predator
ridiculous.
Too. Yeah. I mean, there was the Predator scenario too. Yeah.
So by the
hunting.
End of the thing, that
watched,
we're all so cliche, we don't want to live. That's yeah. the
which is a. I watched Predator last night.
Yeah.
For the 15th time this month, I think. I watched a little bit of it this morning, and then reminded me of Alien. It, the Terror.
Yeah, I have.
Was,
yes, I have that on DVD.
That was on today, which is the movie that's. Sort of not, I don't want to say inspired alien, but it's alien-esque.
Yeah.
The creature's on the ship, it's lurking, and it picks them off one by one.
Yeah.
And it actually has the earliest, I think the earliest known alien in the air shaft scene ever.
That's true.
You know? It's got a great...
I mean, the spaceship's not very big, but yet they can throw grenades in it.
Yeah.
And,
so, you know, and they've all got those space 45s. Which
it's like,
I love all the ones from the 50s where they go to space and they issue them all 45s.
You're in a spaceship.
And they've got like a
it's better than a laser gun. I mean, like, they give them lasers in space and you're like, don't shoot that indoors,
because they've all got like the flight suit and like the canvas pistol belt and the leather holster with the 45, and it's all like,
oh, they're total badasses,
you know.
Man,
and it's like
they fly with an oscilloscope,
because it's all like, because it's all like right
look
after
at an oscilloscope,
all the movies are like right after this. Korea, you know, so they've got all this stuff floating around. And
it's
got
just
like,
surplus.
It's like he's got
a Korean War surplus spaceship.
But I was sitting there watching it, and it's actually a decent movie.
Yeah, it's good.
Is it the Terror from Beyond Space?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's very alien-esque, and I'm like, you know, the creature.
It's pretty tense.
Yeah.
What's the Crawfords? Remember the movie with the giant bank of computers behind them? And what was the company? It wasn't Crawford.
They were Burroughs.
Burroughs, yeah.
It's
the giant
Burroughs,
like, adding machines with the tape drives and the bank.
It's got the
blank of light.
Oh, what is that movie where they're in, like, the command center?
I can't think.
There's a whole wall of Burroughs.
Is it Silent Earth?
No, it's not very good. It's even worse. This on Earth is okay, but I was watching it, and it's actually, the monster is kind of goofy looking, and there's a couple of cheesy scenes.
I love the big headed brain monster,
the mutant from this on Earth.
Oh yeah,
and Mr. Exeter.
Yep.
When he comes on the Interocitor screen, and they're all like the weird kind of sissy guys with the big foreheads and the white hair.
That's right.
But I was watching, it's like it's sort of, you know, an inspiration for Alien, but it's actually not that bad. It's got Marshall Thompson, the guy that played Doctari as the commander.
Doctari.
He's the only one that makes it out alive, and the beginning is him, like, saying, you know, I'm the only one that survived, and now I'm going to tell you the story of what happened to the crew of Rocket Ship whatever, you know. But,
that's right. I mean,
it's not that bad. But I was watching the scene where the guy was shooting, and I'm like, you know, he's got the Space 45, and I hadn't seen it in years. And
it is
to my knowledge the earliest known monster in the
that
air
wasn't
shaft.
Like necessarily an intelligent alien. They just landed on the planet, and while they were getting back on the ship, it snuck on. It was just some animal that snuck on.
It seems fairly clever,
right? But I mean, it doesn't have a vehicle of its own. It's just the roaming.
Like, but it's got sort of, I guess, a predatory intelligence. It picks them off one by one,
like the space herpy and Ice Pirates.
God, man, why do you just the space herpy? No, I'd rather
herpy actually killed anybody.
No,
it just gave him space herpy.
Yeah, it just
came out
of the turkey.
I'd rather discuss the beach ball from Dark Star.
You know, arguably that was more dangerous. That was more dangerous.
The
than
beach
the
ball was the most
the
dangerous.
The beach ball of hands. Oh, that movie's great. Oh, tell me they weren't high when they made that one.
Oh, Lord.
It's
great movie.
I don't know, but it's I think have we finally strayed?
No,
we're still alien species in outer space.
I think we've determined that the only way to defeat the aliens is if we don't find them on our home planet. I mean, if we fight them in space, we have a sort of the odds.
What are we
going to
fight them with?
A little bit.
We don't have any
space 45.
Space 45.
That's right.
But how are we going to get into space?
Rocket ships?
Oh, well, see, that's
our
future
Korean
stuff.
Korean War surplus.
I'm just talking about with current technology.
Oh, with current technology? No.
No. The space shuttle sucks as a fighting machine.
There's no way you could fight aliens on the space shuttle.
Moonraker. They had...
What is it, man? What is wrong with you?
Did you eat some bad chili today?
Moonraker.
Oh, man. Well, that's what they did. They were all sitting in the back, and then they opened up the doors, and they all came out when they had the lasers on their chest.
And the rocket packs. And that's a bad, like, reproduction of the underwater scene from Thunderball.
Sure.
Actually, but in space. So I guess we could fight aliens in space, but not on Earth.
Yeah. If they come here, we're screwed.
What about the moon?
Well, I mean, there hasn't been a whole lot of, like, we went to the moon and played golf. We drove around in a cool little car. There just hasn't really been any kind of, like, other than moon base alpha, you know, type stuff to, you know, there's always...
So,
like,
if we're in space and we encounter an alien, it's probably just going to be one, maybe two.
Yeah, it's there, like they're kind of scarce, and they're not really intelligent. They're more predatory.
Yeah, but the concerted, you know, if they come here in force, we're all screwed.
Yeah, we're doomed.
Whether they want to kill us or eat us.
Or be our friends. We're doomed. We're doomed to be their friends. Because eventually they're going to want to kill us or eat us. We'll screw up. You know.
They're going to bite us into the Galactic Brotherhood.
I mean, like, look.
And
I
then
mean,
two or 3 years later, they're like, fuck, these people. Man.
You can't even go to someplace like Japan without, you know, you'll screw up. Yeah. You'll make some kind of faux pas. You'll pick up your fork and they'll be like, well, you eat with a fork. You know. And
so, yeah, if they come here and want to make friends.
They're going to get pissed at us
eventually.
One way or the other.
Yeah. Then they'll kick us out of the Galactic Brotherhood.
Yeah. Or they'll make us like the peon member. You know, we'll be like Belize in the United Nations. And it's like, you only have
And they'll send us to like the worst planets to police stuff.
Yeah.
We'll be like the Galactic Brotherhood peacekeeping force. Yeah. It goes to the send us to the lava planet.
Send the Earthlings there.
But it's all fucking lava.
It's hot.
Shut up. Or we'll annihilate your planet.
Yeah.
Damn it. I knew we should never have signed that treaty and joined the Galactic Brotherhood. They got no respect for us, man. They send us all the nasty planets. It's nothing but lava. There's nothing to stand on. It's all lava.
Get the crappy uniforms. These things don't even fit. It's like, my uniform's got six arms.
And pink berets.
Yeah, because then they have to make the yeah, what if... The uniforms might not fit. Unless Gene Roddenberry's right and 99% of all intelligent life is vaguely anthropomorphic.
Sure.
Isn't anthropomorphic...
Two arms and two legs and a torso and a head.
Yeah. Sure. 99% of all intelligent life isn't anthropomorphic.
Hopefully.
They're just different colors and they have different, you know, grooming standards.
Because if we've learned anything from that...
Different stuff on their foreheads.
Green women from outer space are hot as shit.
But they all have two arms.
Everybody knows that.
Kirk was getting serious action out
there. I don't
know.
Green women on this... Green women from this planet.
I wonder what kind of VD he had.
Dude.
Space herpes.
Yeah, space herpes.
I'm sure he had space herpes.
Dude, he had to, yeah.
He had something. Look what
it did.
That's
why he was such, like, Bones was, like, right there. I mean, he was the doctor.
Giving him the super shot?
That's right. He had to hang out with Bones. Had to give him, like, you know.
Cure the space VD.
Yeah. He had to hang out with Bones. Like, he's the only guy that knew what was going on the ship.
And Bones was a drunk.
Sure.
You know.
Kirk gave him a job. You know, he's like, you need a job.
He looks kind of half wasted in more than a few of those episodes.
Sure.
I don't know. So we're basically screwed?
Yeah, we're screwed. If they come here, we're screwed. If we fight them in space and they're not intelligent enough to build their own ships, we...
What?
Kind of have a chance.
Did you say if they're not intelligent enough to build their own ships? How would they get here in the first place?
Well, like the alien and an alien.
If
you knew if something hitchhiked on a meteorite.
Yeah.
No, then we're screwed.
Because it'll land
on the planet. Yeah.
That's the blob.
Yeah, then we're screwed.
But we beat the blob.
Well, we beat the blob because we had Steve.
Steve, that's true.
Yeah.
We don't have Steve anymore. We're screwed.
Hmm.
Yeah, without Steve McQueen... The blob will defeat it.
True.
So, that scenario is out of the way. I mean, there's just not a whole lot of chance for us. If they come here, we're doomed.
Yeah.
But if we go there, we have a chance.
Yeah.
That's what.
Because
by the time we get there, they'll be extinct or have left.
Or be so old.
Yeah,
they'll be really old.
They'll be really old. Yeah. Or maybe they're really small. You know, like they'll be really powerful but tiny, and we'll be giant sized. But you know, like, they'll come here and they'll be like, "Whoa, look how big they are!"
But then you can be incinerated by a ship like the size of a gnat.
Yeah. See, we're screwed.
Yeah, we're screwed. Because, you know, if they're that powerful, then size doesn't matter.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, exactly. They're coming down here and they're showing us what's what.
So.
Well, and that's, you know, you've got the
there is no
the
way
alternative
we can
that
win.
We somehow we're the most advanced species in the universe.
Well, that's what the Christians
and mean. Then, well, no, not necessarily. They would say we're the only species in the universe, but
that's a, yeah, I mean
but you know,
default, that's exactly
to go back
what
to like
means.
The Twilight Zone. You have that one where the guy crash lands on a planet, his buddy's dead, and then he discovers that there's this tiny little alien race that lives yes. on the planet, and they end up building, you know, worshiping him as a god, and they build a little statue of him and stuff.
Or it could be really a ball screwed up in French, like Fantastic Planet, where they come and capture us and then take us back to their home planet and treat us like pets and make us wear weird outfits.
Oh,
yes.
And be their pets, live in a little box, and then we escape.
Yes.
Mate. Okay. With the other escape people.
Okay. Mm.
And then
or maybe they're actually all monkeys. Or apes. Like a race of apes.
They came here and they... Well, that's because they came here and they turned us from apes into humans, where they took their DNA and injected it into...
5 million years to Earth.
That's right.
They were intelligent Martians. They were giant Martian grasshopper people. took some hominids back to Mars, worked on them, altered them, brought them back here, and then released them. And as they interbred with the other ones, they sort of sparked an advance in intelligence by interbreeding with their unaltered cohorts. And as then they evolved into us, and we're the product of some crazy experimental stuff by Martian grasshoppers. That movie's awesome. That is a totally whacked movie, but it's really cool.
To Earth, yeah.
It's very cool. I think that's a reasonably accurate synopsis of that. But.
Sure. That's the gist of it. I haven't seen that movie in a while.
I have that one on DVD. That's a cool
one. Really?
Yes. That's one of the few Hammers that I have on DVD.
You see, all the Hammer alien movies were really on...
Oh, man, they're great. Island of the Burning Doom.
Sure.
With Chris.
You know, I don't think I've seen any Hammer alien movies.
Oh, there's the one with the subway, you know, where they're digging.
That's 5 million years to Earth.
Yeah.
That one's awesome.
Yeah,
but there's Island of the Burning Doomed, which is... It's the small island off the coast of mainland Great Britain. It's one of those little bitty islands, and it's like in the summer and the tourist season, and the temperature keeps going up and keeps going up, and they can't figure out what's going on, and then he's like a weird scientist guy who's there, but nobody knows what he's doing, and it turns out it's like an advanced reconnaissance patrol of Venusians, and they've landed out in the woods, and they're like jacking up the temperature to get, you know, to get Earth close to their livable conditions. They're sort of Venus forming it, you know. And they try to find a way. And they're like these weird sort of white blobby things, and they generate tremendous amounts of heat. So when people encounter one, they just sort of incinerate the human, and they find, like, you know, these charred people out in the woods. That one's totally cool.
Yeah.
And then there's, what's the other one? Island... Oh,
Are you talking about the one with the pods that they cut open and it looks like spaghetti?
No, that's the other one. That's the one with Pete and Chris. That's like Island of Terror.
I've seen that. Yeah.
Well, then there's Invasion of the Body Snatchers. The greatest invasion movie of all time.
But I know.
Yeah, I think that's like Island of Terror. That's the one with Peter Cushing.
I didn't know that was a Hammer movie.
And
well, we just we
and that's the other alien thing with the tentacles. They're the little like. Things and they have the one tentacle and they suck your bone marrow, isn't it? Yeah, they latch on and drain your marrow.
I remember that.
Yeah, that one's really cool too. The Hammer alien movies are
oh yeah,
cool.
I didn't know.
Yeah,
those
they're top.
There's those two and 5 Million Years to Earth. There's actually a couple of other Quatermass movies that with that guy Professor Quatermass, the character that
Quatermass and the
that are good, but they're not as good as 5 Million.
What's the other one?
There's the Quatermass Experiment is the very first one.
Yeah.
5 million years to Earth is also known as Quatermass and the Pit.
Yeah, Quatermass and the Pit. That's the one I was thinking of
but
before.
But that's 5 million
years
to Earth.
Yeah, that's 5 million years to Earth.
Yeah, yeah. But yes, Invasion of the Body Snatchers, the original is brilliant. The remake is actually a pretty good remake, I think. It's kind of dated, you know, but it's actually a pretty decent remake. But the original with Kevin McCarthy. I think that's it. Yeah. That one's just amazing. Mm. That's a great, great movie. Yes. And see, and then that one, we're totally screwed. It's one of those cool, you know, movies that didn't have the happy ending, had the kind of weird... Like,
oh, you know, no. You see, that's just it. I mean, and I didn't even bring up Independence Day.
But you know, you
just
did.
Yeah, but, oh, yeah.
Fucker.
But I don't want to do that. Invasion of the Body Snatchers. See, people out there, I just want you to make sure that you watch out for pod people. Whenever you drive by a greenhouse, I just want you to know that deep inside that greenhouse, someplace in the back, you're growing pod people.
Or there's a thing from another world growing.
That's right. Because it was a vegetable.
Or triffids.
Or triffids.
Yep.
Though actually in the book, we created triffids.
Did we?
Yes. In the movie, they made them arrive on the meteorite
that
blind the people. But actually, in the book, the Triffids were a government experiment.
Oh.
That's true.
And when everyone's blinded by the meteor shower, like the people that guard, like tend the Triffids and keep them under control, were all blinded, and the Triffids got loose. And it was just a weird coincidence that, like, suddenly mobile, intelligent, flesh-eating plants get loose, and the vast majority of the population is blinded.
Okay.
Did you ever see Monolith Monsters? Have you ever seen that movie?
Okay. Yeah.
That's another like alien invasion movie with a totally unintelligent alien. It's just a rock from outer space that when it gets wet, it grows.
Yeah.
There's
to
so
a
many,
giant like monolith
so
and then falls down and breaks into a million pieces and then when it rains, they all grow and eventually it's a bizarre movie, but it's a really cool concept.
Well, our time's up. Nope. Send us in your favorite scenario of alien destruction and doom to destructamundo@gmail.com. Let us know what inspiring outer space thrillers have, you know, scared the pants off you growing up. Let us know, you know, what kind of what kind of aliens you think are out there and what kind of chance do we have against them. Once again, yes, our email address is destructamundo@gmail.com. And thanks for subscribing to our podcast. And
thank you to Belhaven Scottish Ale.
Yes, right. That's right. This week we're drinking Belhaven Scottish Ale and...
delicious.
And Ephemere Quebecois beer.
You're supporting the Quebecois.
It's a Quebecois apple beer.
And I don't really feel comfortable with that, but it's actually really good beer, and it's making me...
Unibrow has a really good brewery.
Yes, they do, and it is good beer. It is the only Quebec beer I've ever had, and I don't know. I can't deal with the fact that they want their own French state in my hemisphere, but oh well. If they keep making beer like this, I guess they can do whatever.
Anyway, keep their hands off my cheese.
Well, I'm James, and
I'm not.
I'm Ted. The K is silent.
And I'm not Ted either.
Every week we're going to do this. We have no way of signing off without being total schmucks.
Because you can't see the hand signal that I'm making right now to all of you.
I'm going to put my pants back on.
You do that, man, because I've been uncomfortable
see y'all
the
next
whole
week.
Show. Alright.
Alright.
We'll see you next week. Good night. Good day. Whatever the hell time it is where you're at.
Yes.